Hello and welcome to the BizNews Breakfast Briefing. I'm Lucy Ferreira for BizNews.com. It's Wednesday, the 10th of August, and first up in today's show, we have Alec Hogg with a morning market update following yesterday's public holiday. After that, we have the global news update from our partners, the FT in London. In case you missed them over the long weekend, there are two interviews really worth checking out on BizNews.com, both filled with hope and inspiration to keep us in good spirits. Gigi Alcock returned to the BizNews studio following his highly popular interview on the booming informal economy in South Africa. In this interview, Gigi introduces us to Refilwe Runtokoa, an award-winning young township baking mogul whose fascinating story shines a light on South Africa's exciting new generation of entrepreneurs. Alec also caught up with Grace Harding, Ocean Basket's Dynamo CEO. In this interview, Grace takes no prisoners as she passionately tells us about the collective she is creating for restaurateurs to stand up against landlords. You can find the interview links in the show notes. And now, here's Alec with the markets.
Thank you, Lucy. Good morning. It's Wednesday, the 10th of August. Yeah, that tells you that the markets were not behaving themselves while we were away. Here in South Africa, the JSE All Share Index on Monday was up 1.1%, helped there by gold shares. We'll talk about that in a moment. But while we were having a public holiday here in South Africa, the US markets were going in the other direction. S&P 500 index was down by 0.5% last night. NASDAQ composite down by 1.2%. As far as the other market movers are concerned, the Rand was strong yesterday and the day before. It picked up 29 cents since the weekend against the US dollar, trading at the moment at 16 Rand and 59 cents. 17 cents stronger against the pound, 20 Rand and 5 cents is what £1 will cost you, and 14 cents better against the euro, 16 Rand 94 cents. Brent crude is edging higher again, up 112 cents to $96 a barrel. The gold price is just below $1,800 an ounce, at $18 firmer since we finished the weekend. That's now at 1,793. Bitcoin lost 3.9% in the last couple of days. $22,915 is what it will cost you. That's in dollars for one Bitcoin. And as a consequence, the Geltech basket was down 5% at 443 Rand and 86 cents. The BizNews favorites did not have good sessions on both days. Led lower by Palantir. Here I was expecting last week that Palantir would be providing gangbuster results on Monday. It went the precise opposite. The numbers were actually pretty good for the quarter, and Palantir is making a habit of this. They bring the figures out for the quarter, and then they make forecasts which are lower than what Wall Street expected. They did the same in May. This was for the first quarter of the year. Palantir's numbers beat the forecast that Wall Street had had for that quarter, for the first quarter, but their projections were below what the analysts were expecting, and so the share price fell. We saw a similar thing happening on Monday when the market opened. That share price down 14%, down another 5% last night. So we've had 20% decline in the Palantir share price since the results were released. Such an interesting company, this one, though. Alex Karp, the CEO, Peter Thiel, the chairman, they really don't care what the market thinks about the company. They're getting on and doing their work. The reason why the projections are not as buoyant as anticipated is because the federal government in the United States has been delaying some spending. Presumably that spending is going to come at some point in time, but they haven't actually pulled the trigger now, so that hasn't come into the numbers, and hence the disappointing financial results. Elon Musk is also in the news. He sold $7 billion worth of Tesla stock. Takes his sales now to $32 billion in Tesla stocks in the past year. The reason for that is that he made a bid to buy Twitter. That has gone to the courts. Elon doesn't want to buy the company anymore. Twitter's management wants to force him to buy the company. And what he said was that if he's forced to buy Twitter, he doesn't want to have a fire sale on Tesla's shares and then knock the share price down. So rather, he's been selling shares to build up a cash pile. He has to put in something like $32 $1 billion in equity. He's got the debt for the rest. It's a $44 billion investment. He's got the debt for the rest, but he needed the equity. In other words, the cash that he could put in if he's forced to buy Twitter. That's in the courts. We'll see if that's the case. The share price of Tesla came down to $850 on the news, down from $910. On Wall Street, Mr. Market is getting himself into a tiz at the moment about chip makers. 2 weeks ago, Intel released a quarterly loss. That's the biggest chip maker in the world. AMD, another chip maker, came out shortly thereafter with a very muted outlook into the future. Nvidia on Monday also said that its sales would be below forecast. And then last night, Micron Technology also came out with financial results that the market did not like. The semiconductor index on Wall Street dropped 5% yesterday. It's dropped 27% this year. And that compares with the NASDAQ, which is down 21%. So it's really been underperforming. However, there is good news into the future. President Biden announced last night that the U.S. would be investing $50 billion into financing U.S. chip development and production. Finally, before we move off the United States, Coinbase, the cryptocurrency exchange, the biggest one there in the U.S., reported second quarter losses, which were far higher than had been anticipated by the market. The share price was hit as a consequence of that. The losses came in at $1.1 billion. That's against a profit of $1.6 billion a year ago, and it reflects what's been happening in the cryptocurrency market. On the Johannesburg Stock Exchange on Monday, we saw Anglo Gold jumping 7%, Impala Platinum and Northam both strong as well. Harmony was up 4%, Anglo Platinum up 3.7%. So a good day for precious metal stocks on the JSE. Some other shares worth looking at, and we have been following them recently. Industrial companies, Hulamin was up 9%, is now at 2 Rand 60, was trading just above 2 Rand a couple of weeks ago. And Reunert picked up another 7% to 43 Rand, and that was trading at 36 Rand 2 weeks ago. So there are spots of excitement on the JSE if you can find them.
Good morning from the Financial Times. Today is Wednesday, August 10th, and this is your FT News Briefing. President Joe Biden's economic package looks like it's going to pass, and corporate America isn't too happy about it. We'll get an update on Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and tennis legend Serena Williams is retiring. We'll look at what's next for her. I'm Mark Filippino, and here's the news you need to start your day. One of Taiwan's biggest technology companies is stuck in the middle of heightened U.S.-China tensions. Foxconn is a major contract manufacturer for Apple and other tech giants. Now, Taiwanese officials want to force Foxconn to unwind a big investment it just made in a mainland Chinese chip company. The move comes as Beijing escalates threats towards Taiwan, which it considers its own territory. Taipei's move to unwind Foxconn's $800 million investment in China is seen as a way to align itself more closely with the U.S. Taipei is concerned that Foxconn's investment in the mainland company could bolster China's tech ambitions and give China an edge over the U.S. President Joe Biden's tax and climate package looks like it's going to pass the House of Representatives and become law in just a few days. It's a huge win for the president and Democrats. But the tax part of it has left America's biggest companies very unhappy. The FT's Washington Bureau Chief James Politi explains.
Well, they're quite upset, mainly because of the tax increases that are included in the package, which are used really to pay for some of the spending measures and also to make sure that the deal actually ends up reducing the deficit, which is one of the key claims to sort of the fact that it can bring down inflation over time. But the business community is not happy with the fact that the bill sets 15% minimum tax on the income of the largest corporations and also introduces a 1% tax on share buybacks. Those are the two main features that are most upsetting to corporate America.
This can't be a surprise, though, James, can it? I mean, the Biden administration must have known that it was going to anger big business with these tax provisions.
Yes, and actually the Biden administration wanted to go much further when it comes to corporate taxation. It wanted to actually increase the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28% and introduce a series of other corporate tax increases and individual tax increases in order to, as they put it, sort of make sure that the wealthy and the largest companies pay their fair share. But in the end, the spending measures were smaller than the Biden administration actually wanted originally. So there was less that needed to be paid for. And there was opposition from some, you know, moderate Democrats to some of the more aggressive tax measures. And so this is where we landed.
So how much is this going to dent corporate earnings, James?
I don't think it's a huge threat to them. I mean, businesses benefited from a huge tax cut back in 2017, which was enacted by former President Trump with the support of congressional Republicans. So they're starting from a very sort of good position in terms of corporate taxation.
James Pleady is the FT's Washington Bureau Chief. The U.S. this week approved $1 billion in additional military aid for Ukraine, just as Kyiv is getting ready for a new offensive in the southern part of the country. To find out more about what's happening on the military front, I'm joined by the FT's John Paul Rathbone. Hi, John Paul.
Hi.
So, John Paul, a big focus for Ukraine right now is regaining control of the city of Kherson. Why is Kherson so important?
So, the battle line in the Ukraine has sort of stabilized, and there are two main areas. In the east, there's the Donbass, where Russia has been having this grinding advance, a lot of artillery, and they've captured some extra ground. And now the attention has focused to this southern city of Kherson, which was the first city to fall to the Russians after the invasion. And if the Ukrainians could take it back, it would represent that they're kind of regaining control of the narrative, that the war effort still has momentum, and they have something to show for all the military aid that the West has given them.
John Paul, did the U.S. ever send Ukraine the long-range rockets that Kyiv had been pushing Western allies for? And how important are these rockets?
So you're quite right. Ukraine did ask for some long-range weapons, and the U.S., the U.K., and other allies have not sent them, but what they have sent are these relatively long-range artillery called HIMARS. It's allowed the Ukrainians to sit back from the front lines and fire these highly accurate rockets that have taken out Russian ammo dumps and command centers. And this extra load of rockets for these HIMARS was in the latest U.S. package, $1 billion package, as you mentioned. Hundreds of HIMARS being sent to Ukraine is good, but is it material enough to make a difference to the fundamental course of the war? No, it's not. And in fact, both sides have kind of got bogged down at the moment. Neither has quite enough men or quite enough material to fundamentally change the course of the war, even if Ukraine manages to take Kherson, which would be a big reach in its own right.
John Paul Rathbone is the FT's defense and security correspondent. Thanks, JP.
Thank you.
And Serena smashes Steffi's record. It's number 23.
She changed tennis. She changed tennis fashion. And now Serena Williams is planning to change the world of business. Yesterday, the tennis legend announced that she plans to retire soon. She wants to focus on her family and her financial ventures. Here's the FT's Sarah Germano with more details.
Serena has this venture capital firm called Serena Ventures, which earlier this spring closed its first funding round of $111 million. And to date, they've made 55 investments, mostly seed stage investments in you know, startup companies. And what Serena Williams is saying she wants to do, and she is doing with this this entity is there. She's trying to change the face of women in finance, particularly Black women in finance, of whom there are very, very few, if any, notable individuals making waves in that sense.
And Serena Williams is also incredibly active in sports ownership, right?
Yeah, I definitely think we should talk about her influence in sports ownership. You know, she has a minority stake in the Miami Dolphins, which is the NFL team. She's one of the founding co-owners of the new women's football team that's soccer in the U.S. in Los Angeles called Angel City. And she was part of what was ultimately a losing bid for Chelsea Football Club. And so outside of these venture investments, we're seeing Serena get more into the direction and ownership of sports clubs. And that's something that is a realm of the industry that there definitely could be more female and especially Black influence in.
Serena is, she's so extraordinary. She's so unique. Could she be hard to emulate? I guess, to what extent could people follow in her footsteps?
It's a great question, and we've already seen her do that with tennis, right? Naomi Osaka, who has exceeded Serena already in net worth, has been very vocal and open about how, you know, she got into tennis because Serena Williams, and we're already seeing that next generation come and achieve success. She made it okay for women to be who they are and, you know, not necessarily conform to what society traditionally expects women to do, how they behave, how they celebrate victories, how they express frustration. There are very few people in her league who have this amount of demonstrated tangible success. And if she's setting out her expectation that she wants to translate all of those skills to the business realm, you know, people better watch out.
Sarah Germano is the FT's U.S. sports business correspondent. You can read more on all of these stories at FT.com. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for the latest business news.
And that's all for today's briefing. If you enjoyed this episode, follow Biz News Radio now to get all of our interviews and daily market updates as soon as they're published on your podcast platform.